Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Yes, thanks for joining us on this Tuesday night. Mark Reddings alongside Will Schofield taking your calls on 133 882. Plenty of sport bumping around. We're heading to the Australian Open to chat with Craig Gabriel in this hour. Also, later in the show, we'll chat with Jay Rooney, racing rider at the West Australian. William Pike making a big call to head across to Sydney to continue his career. Young golfing pro Hayden Barron from WA, his progress in this new era of golf in Australia. And from the Perth Glory, Aaron Calver, a central defender, will talk about the club returning to action after 43 days cooling their heels. Will Schofield, good evening to you. Great to have you on board.
G'day, Skeets. Yeah, good to be here, mates. It's lovely to be back in the chair on 6PR Sports Day. I'll be with you all week this week, so hopefully you don't get too sick of me, but it's going to be fun, mate. Enjoying it.
Absolutely. Just checking in on the tennis. Some good results happening for Australia today. Nick Kyrgios in front of his match at the moment. Alex De Minaur likewise, and Matty Inglis from WA getting a result earlier in the afternoon. One of the big stories bumping around, it's Liam Bartlett had a really good chat to Justin Langer earlier today about his coaching future. Now, this isn't new, but it's coming to a head very shortly with regards to what the Cricket Australia, the powers that be, will do with Justin's contract. He's contracted until the middle of the year, but there's a tour of Pakistan coming up. He's won the World Cup, T20 World Cup. He's retained the Ashes in convincing fashion, 4-0. But the whispers, the scrutiny, and the innuendo doesn't seem to go away that Justin Langer is on borrowed time.
Well, I think it's been driven a little bit from the eastern states, because a lot of the commentary I've heard here in the West have been very supportive of Justin Langer, as they should be. He's done everything he could possibly have done. He's taken over a team in Sandpaper Gate, so a team in ruins culturally. He's taken them to, I guess, the finish, which is right now. They've won a World Cup, T20 World Cup, the Ashes, the greatest trophy in Test for our nation, and he's still getting questioned. They've got the tour of Pakistan coming up. That's when his contract will end, and there is still some chat about whether he'll have a job or not. I personally cannot believe it. I've been banging on about this for a long time. Someone who comes into a job, who is hired to change the culture and change respect and how people have been working within that team, well, he's done that. So what else do you want from him, Mark? Do you want something that he's not – he's winning.
Player power. Will, that seems to be the case in cricket. It can happen in footy as well. But Justin Langer, as we said, a really interesting interview this morning on 6PR with Liam Bartlett. Here's some of what he had to say about his job being in question despite having retained the Ashes in such convincing fashion.
Justin, I see last night was broadcast on Nine News, so many of our listeners would have heard it. Some terrific comments from Christina Matthews from The Whacker about what a terrific support you've been over the years and what a great guy you are, and her sort of view on the unfairness of your coaching role even being questioned at this stage. What do you think, mate?
Well, I guess in the end of the day, I've been in this job for 4 years now, and I know there's just, no matter how you look at it, there's always going to be scrutiny, and that's just the world we live in now, and you've got to accept that. But I tell you what, you've got to have really thick skin. And it's not only you, it's your family as well. You've got to have really thick skin. So it's been pretty much relentless for the last 12 months. All I can do, as I did as a batsman, as I do in everything else at the moment, is just put my head down and hopefully the results speak for themselves. I mean, the way the guy, not just winning, just the way they're going about, they've got a smile on their face, they're great sportsmen, they're great young men. And hopefully the results speak for themselves.
So in ordinary circumstances, a coach who has led the country to a T20 World Cup and an Ashes victory at 4-0 would be just literally walking into the office saying, mate, I'll take so many years at this price. So why has it got to this stage that we're even talking about it?
I swear to God, I wish I knew. And that's the crazy. I mean, imagine if the Wallabies coach won the Bledisloe Cup and then the World Cup in 6 months. So yeah, that's the frustration of it. I wish I could tell you, and that's the truth. I think from 4 years ago when I started, right through to now. Like I said, I can only be judged on where Australian cricket was when I took over, because that's just the obvious time to where it is today. So that's where I get judged on, and that's okay. And whatever happens, I'm really, really proud, and so are my family, and so are my friends, and so are so many people I know. And I think a lot of Australians are, to be honest, of where the Australian cricket team is now.
Justin Langer on 6BR earlier today, 133-882. Just to maybe just expand this discussion briefly, Will, from a football perspective, and you played under Adam Simpson. Now, he was relatively new in the tenure when you were there, in the sense of time spent there in footy time. In terms of cricket, 4 years at the helm of Australia is quite long. They spend so long together. Have you gone through periods when you're playing footy that coaches like Justin have had to change their style, maybe abrogate some responsibilities to others, maybe be more inclusive, change their style to get better results from the players?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Simpson, yes, but John Worsfold, a great example, really. The way that Woosha coached, on reflection, a great coach. And at the time, yes, there's some hard periods because John Worsfold coached the way he played. So you'd have hard conversations. He'd expect a lot of you. But again, on reflection coming out of the game, I look back at my time under John Worsfold, and that made me the player I was able to be, because a bit of tough love, even though it seems to be going out of fashion these days, it's not a bad thing. So I guess a point I do want to make on this is player and disharmony and murmurings, that happens in team sport all the time, because first of all, in cricket, there's 11 players that play every week. There's a squad of players that want to be playing. So there's going to be chat amongst those. And then you've come from a place where culturally the Australian cricket team was in a bad space. So there's a lot of different levers being pulled within a team, whether it's cricket or football. There's going to be player misrest. There's going to be players talking out of school a little bit. That's what happens in team sport. You don't have any teams in any sports going, well, it's just pure harmony where we do what we like. Even, you know, look at as close as Richmond in the AFL. They've had a dynasty the last 4 or 5 years. They would have had periods where players weren't happy, they weren't getting played in position, leadership group making a decision people weren't happy with.
But that hasn't meant that Damien Hardwick's role as coach has been brought into question when you're winning premierships. That seems to be
correct.
The irony for me is that given what they've done over this summer, that there's still, and look, we haven't been inside the camp. We don't know the inner workings and how difficult Justin might have been at times. That's all part of what the players might be coming from. So we're going on results, which from where we sit is probably all you can do. 133-882. Joe's in Thornley. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. Look, and bear with me because I'm going to cite a couple of examples.
You there, Joe? We didn't cut Joe off on that occasion. While we get Joe back, just quickly, slightly lighter note here, but vision of a few Australian cricketers, Joe Root, very early this morning being told in gentle terms to wind up the celebrations or the commiserations after the Ashes. Fascinating to see the feedback from some about the cricketers having a bit of a wind down after the Ashes series.
I'd love to hear 133-882. Do you think, one, is it acceptable for two opposing teams after fighting in a 5-match series in the Ashes? Is it acceptable that they're sharing a drink at any period of time, let alone at 6 o'clock in the morning? It's probably a little bit early or late, depending how you look at it. Is that okay? And do you think it would happen across other sports? I immediately reflected on my time as an AFL footballer. I can't imagine sitting down with, I don't know, after a grand final, Collingwood per se, and sharing a beer with them. Maybe that's gone out of the game. Maybe that's sport specific. Maybe cricket's different.
It is different.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what people think. 133-882. Is it okay?
Back to the 70s and beyond, before that, they used to actually swap their playing jumpers on grand final days. So things have changed a lot. I have no issue with what happened. But yeah, unusual seeing Joe Root sit with Nathan Lyon, but they did play cricket together in South Australia. So I think, you know what? It's bigger than the game, having a camaraderie, and they've played IPL alongside each other, and they've seen each other so many times. I have no issue with them spending a night together and just breaking it all down.
Just quietly. It's bad to agree, but I couldn't have loved it anymore. We've got Joe back on the line. G'day, Joe. Sorry we lost you there, mate.
Hi, mate. Sorry, I dropped out just now.
Hi, Joe.
Just very quick. Yeah, you there?
Yep, fire away.
Yeah, okay, now, and bear with me because I'm going to bring a couple of examples of where we have blatant bias against the West Coast people, West Coast players, so West Australians. So the first one was back, you know, the famous Kim Hughes, and we all know that the East Coast guys were just digging in the background trying to get rid of him. That's pretty much, I mean, it's well documented what happened, and of course, at the end of the day, Kim Hughes just folded. The second one that happened last year was when we were playing against the Indians, and we knew that we were having a big problem with the opening spot, and there were players who were completely out of form, as in Joe Byrne, David Warner was carrying an injury, and then we got Matthew Wade to open in a test match when he's never opened in the red ball, and he had it clear. I know he was a bit old at that time, but he had scored about 5 Shield 100 in the season. Probably the most in-form opener that you could have had. And yet, we chose to ignore him because, oh, he's a bit old. But you know what? Guess what? Kim Payne was 1 year younger than him. You know what I mean? As in Sean March. And this was nothing more than blatant East Coast bias against our boys.
Thank you, Joe, for the call. Going back to the Kim Hughes scenario, I'm old enough to remember that period when he was captain. And to be honest, I mean, a couple of his detractors, my sporting heroes, Dennis Zilley and Rod Marsh, didn't make life easy for them at the time. They're good friends now and get on famously, but perhaps I think the feeling back then was that Kim was too young for the role, and maybe even a Rod Marsh deserved to get the job ahead of Kim. So that I don't think reeks of East Coast bias. Look, he was going through a tough time against the West Indies when he decided to step down, so Kim's position is there to be seen. And Sean Marsh, well, last summer, yeah, it is funny, isn't it? That 34-35 age bracket where we see Usman Khawaja get redrafted and David Warner still opening, it's a fine line as to whether you stick with those players or you try to bring through fresh blood.
This isn't being negative against athletes, and I can say this because I know athletes have huge egos. It's a selfish industry. You have to put yourself under maximum pressure to be able to perform at the highest level. So don't discount the egos that would be bouncing around in the Australian cricket team. They would all be trying to position themselves in the best way. That's how human nature works. They're competitive. The egos are there. So hopefully, Justin taking a little bit of a back step and winning, and that fixes everything.
A lot of problems solved by victory. Jono's in Rivervale. Hi, Jono.
G'day, mate. First time 6PR, a little bit nervous.
No, fire away. Relax,
Jono.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this cricket situation, and I saw on the news, one of the commercial stations, they're saying the Aussies are drinking with the enemy. And I thought that was an absolute ridiculous statement. They're not the enemy, they're the competition. And as far as people go, they're all just friends. They're playing a sport, and the best team won go the Aussies. And I just think it's ridiculous that it's portrayed in this manner, you know?
I think that's
a good call.
They're able to drink together and... You know what I mean?
Yeah, end of the series.
Yeah, it's a great call, Jono. I think, especially as we move out of old school behaviours, I suppose. But that's probably why I asked the question, because back in the day, that would happen all the time. They would do it in mid-test match, I believe. So I loved it. I thought it was good. It was pretty funny. The cops rocked up and kicked him out of the hotel, though.
He was Hobart, so maybe that was at 6:30 in the morning, just a little bit over the top. That is our hot topic for Barbecues Galore. Shop online and in-store at Barbecues Galore. The range, the price, the knowledge. Now you're cooking. Stay with us. Plenty more to come. 133-882. We're talking Justin Langer's future. We're talking about fraternising with the enemy in the Ashes. Would you do it in footy? Would you do it after a 4-0 whitewash or 4-0 drubbing at the hands of Australia? Give us a call now. It's 21 past 6.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. ToolkitDepot.com.au.
Thanks for joining us. 24 past 6. Mark Reddings and Will Schofield. Shortly, Tuesday, true or false for Repco Authorised Centre. Wildcats back in business, but back in the L column, which is a loss, 87-74 against the Adelaide 36ers tonight. They were blown away in the first half and down by 20 points. They scrambled back in the third quarter, outscoring the 36ers 24-12. But in the end, that final scoreline, 87-74, no real surprise given what they've gone through with COVID and being cooped up for a week or so. Let's go back to the phones. Let's head out to Langford. Salty has given us a call. Hi, Salty.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we going?
Terrific.
Good.
Yeah, I want to talk about Alfie Langer. Back in your promo in the Oliver Peterson show, you mentioned the Sydney paper had a bit to do with the scuttlebutters going on behind the scenes. Get an answer from them, because we're on speculation over here. We don't know why, because I heard Justin speak earlier with Liam this morning. But has anybody asked the Sydney newspaper, get them on the line, get them on the hook, find out exactly what they're talking about? If they're liars,
simple
as that. We're not changing the source, boys.
No, Salty, I like your passion. Look, what I will say is that Malcolm Conn, who was working for Cricket Australia when Justin Langer has been coach, he's since left that role and is now working as the chief cricket writer over there in Sydney at the newspaper. He's written a couple of articles which have been very damning of Justin's behaviour. And to be honest with you, as someone, if I was in Malcolm's role working, say, for the West Coast Eagles, and I went and back to become a journalist, and I'd had some private conversations or privy to information that, say, Adam Simpson had delivered to me, I'd be very loath to reveal those publicly in an article, which has happened with Malcolm. Now, not saying he's the sole person trying to orchestrate Justin's demise, but he certainly has written a couple of articles which have certainly upset Justin.
Oh, well, I sometimes plead ignorant. I follow a lot of things, but sometimes I miss it. I didn't actually realise that. I mean, as a journalist, which you are, Skeet, that you were very light on there. You would have extreme difficulty throwing someone under the bus that was an employer that you worked closely with and had private conversations. I think Salty's spot on.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. But
is that lie? It's not lying. It's I don't know. It depends where you want to put your moral hat on. Do you want to be known as doing that? I think that's pathetic.
I think he's compromised his role at Cricket Australia, then going back to being a journalist and writing stuff that he was only privy to. But you know, Malcolm, I found him really good company when he's come to Perth for test matches. But I just feel that there's been a little bit an interesting when he wrote the first article I read. He said Justin Langer is one of the most admired people I have in cricket, and then he proceeded to basically throw him down the street.
I wonder how it tastes, Malcolm. I wonder how that tastes, Malcolm. We'll have to anyway. Maybe get him on and have a chat. That'd be good. Dino's called in. G'day, Dino.
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, great show. Just going to say, would that be probably one of the longest innings that probably Joe Root has played in the Ashes series?
That's a bit harsh, Dino.
Because until 6 in the morning?
He was actually, I mean, he didn't get the century, but he did play as well as any batter in the English lineup. Let's be honest. And you know what? He's handled himself really well, I would have thought. I don't think he's lost any friends. What I did see quite often, giving gloves to kids at training and a couple of impromptu training sessions with kids, I think whether he's the right captain, Dino, going forward for England, I'm not sure, but there's a lot to like about him as a bloke. I think he holds himself really well, and unfortunately he just doesn't have the team with him to play test cricket as it should be at the moment against the best teams.
Exactly, and I think it is good for the game, because, I mean, when they play throughout the world in all different tournaments and all these 2020 events, they're going to cross paths all together. So, I mean, I think it's great for the game. It just shows probably sportsmanship too.
Good call, Dino. Thanks for that. Craig's in Kinross. Thanks. Hi, Craig.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good, Craig. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Just on what you were just talking there before I get into my point, look, there are two sides that have gone at each other, and I think all of them have shown respect to each other, and that's what we try to teach our kids. And that goes on to my point about etiquette in sport. I've played tennis in the country. I play tennis now. I play cricket, footy. End of the day, you put a spread on. If you're the home team, you put a spread on and you have a chat, and that's how we play sport in this country. And if we've got media that want to feed it up and be idiots about it, I think it's pretty disrespectful to all the people that play community sport and up to international level are doing the best for their sport and their country, and you get media just giving them a hard time. I just really see that as disrespectful to the players.
Yeah, I think that's a great call, Craig. It's actually the English Cricket Board who's doing further investigation into it. So, you're looking at me a bit quizzical, Mark, but yeah, that's what's happening. They're further investigating the incidents at the Hobart Hotel. I couldn't agree more with Craig. I think it shows respect from both teams. They weren't sitting there having a party. They clearly, it was daytime, and that was they'd had a couple more beers prior.
Decent stint, but I'll tell you what, neither you or I are going to stand in a glass window and
well, who is
others.
Though? Who is though? People enjoy having a beer. Like Craig said, people love the respect that sport brings. It's great to compete on the field, but when you get off it, you can shake hands and say, what a great game. Good job.
Yep, those in glass houses, as they say. Dave in Ocean Reef. Hi, Dave.
G'day, Scoot. Will. Hey, by the way, you too, you did a great job over the Christmas break. You, Will, is doing Mills' job.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, but I'm agreeing with the rest. Thank you. And I'm agreeing with the rest of the callers. The, just got me bloody beer, but however. there's only one mouthful left. But the caller summed it up, you know, they ain't enemies, right? You know, we've got to get back to tin tacks, you know, like this political correctness is going crazy. And I think it's absolutely brilliant that they drank together. And by the way, just to slightly digress, Liam interviewed with Fred Hardy today. Yeah, in interviewed Justin Langer, and he wasn't fazed about it. And he's getting grilled over the coaching and all that sort of stuff, which is all crazy. But the thing is that the next interview Liam does is with a lady or a woman. Sorry, I'm sure how politically correct I am. And about whether we open doors or don't open doors for women or give up our seat to them. Where are we going in this world? It's going crazy. Hey, boys.
Thank you, Dave.
Very good,
appreciate
Dave.
Your feedback. And,
enjoy the beer.
And I hope you didn't spill too much there. Quickly, before we head to a break, Tuesday, true or false, Repco authorised centre. Car feeling like a sauna? For expert aircon service, book in at repcoservice.com. Let me get your answers to these quickly. Novak Djokovic, will he be back next year to compete at the Australian Open? True or false?
Yes, true.
The new holding the ball rule in the AFL, will it improve the game in 2022? True or false?
No, false. Terrible.
Okay, nice and succinct there. We had Demar Getz on last night. Will Schofield.
If you want me to expand, that rule and the constant rule tinkering, I know I sound like a bit of a whinger here, but we've got to, at some point, stop pulling the levers of the rule makers and encourage hard, strong football. The contested football, even though if it's not high scoring, that's what people enjoy. They love a contest. Let them tackle, let them fight through it.
Okay, 133-882. That's our Tuesday true or false. Car feeling like a sauna? For expert aircon service, book in your local Repco authorised service centre at repcoservice.com. It's 28-7. Coming up in just a moment, we're crossing to the Australian Open, where Nick Kyrgios has enjoyed a straight sets win. Craig Gabriel will tell us more right after this.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day as we roll into our Australian Open tennis update for the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6. Our main man is at Melbourne Park. His name's Craig Gabriel. He joins us quite appropriately on cue almost with Nick Kyrgios enjoying a pretty good start to his Open campaign. Craig.
Absolutely, it was. It was pretty straightforward for Nick. He was playing Liam Brody, the Brit who came through qualifying, and Nick Kyrgios has won that match 6-4, 6-4, 6-3. That set him up for a second round clash with the number 2 seed, Daniil Medvedev, and that's going to be pretty fascinating. I mean, Nick would want that match to be played on John Cain Arena, but I can't see that happening. I think it'll be on Rod Laver Arena.
Craig, given what Nick's been through in the past week or two with COVID, etc., how did his fitness levels look? Although he wasn't tested, obviously.
No, look, he didn't appear to be struggling in any way. He looked very fit and he was moving around very, very well. And he was fine.
Craig, there's a couple of other Aussies in action as we speak. Alex Deminor and Popperin as well. They're both going at it right now.
Yep, absolutely. Alex Di Minaur is up 2 sets to 1, 3-6, 6-3, 6-love, 4-3, and he's got a point to go up 5-3 in that fourth set. And as for Alexei Popyrin, he is now in the very early stages of the fifth set. He's playing Arthur Rinderknecht of France, who was a finalist in Adelaide. He lost to Thanasi Kokkinakis last Saturday. And it is really quite a battle over here because it was a set all. Then Rinderknecht went up 2 sets to 1. Popyrin's forged back 6-3 in the fourth, and it's one love to the Frenchman in the final set. It's on serve, so that is obviously by that scoreline very tight. And what the match that disappointed me this evening? It should have been a major victory for Storm Sanders. She was playing the second seed, Aryna Sabalenka. She was up a set and 3-1. And she's ended up losing the match. Very frustrating, very disappointing. I mean, nobody more disappointed, you'd have to guess, than Storm Sanders herself. But those are not matches you should be letting go. It was 5-7, 6-3, 6-2.
WA's Maddie Inglis, big day for her.
So good. So good. That was such a nice win. She's really sweet. I've never dealt with her before, but she was lovely. And it was a big win for her, and to defeat the 23rd seed in the U.S. Open finalist, Leila Fernandez, 6-4, 6-2, very impressive, and how she stayed firm and mentally focused, because she did admit to feeling a few nerves right at the end of the match when she was serving for it, etc., but she got through. That was a big win for her. And then she was explaining on, she hasn't, I asked her, I said, when was the last time you saw your mother? Because she was saying that she couldn't even go home to Perth or to Western Australia for Christmas. So I asked her, I said, well, when was the last time? And she said she hadn't seen her mother since 2 Christmases ago.
That's, wow. It's not surprising for some of our listeners, actually, Craig, but it's a great identifier of, I guess, the work that she's had to put in away from her family. How did she seem? She seemed happy. What was her demeanor?
Oh, yeah. She was really excited and obviously very happy. And the pay packet out of this is going to be a huge benefit to her for the rest of this year, because it's so expensive, as everybody would know, traveling on the tennis tour, and she hasn't got that much experience at this level, and she feels that maybe this will give her an opportunity to play a few more tournaments at a tour level rather than the lower rungs of the ladder. She said, asked her about endorsements. She has got clothing endorsement with Lululemon. She had that for a while, and she said Wilson Rackets have been very, very helpful to her. So, and that's really good. That's a big thing, because I always remember Casey Dellacqua having to go to Target to get her clothes to play the Australian Open a few years ago.
It worked out okay. Didn't you get a major sponsorship out of that?
Yeah, she did. I don't know if it was with Target or what, but she did end up getting a sponsorship, yeah.
That's very good. I might start shopping at Target very soon now. winding the clock back, Sam Stosur. She's come up with a first-round victory.
Love it. I mean, that looked like trouble for Sam, because she's always had trouble at the Australian Open in most of the tournaments. In fact, she's only, I think from memory, reached one final in Australia. That was in Sydney. Lost to Alicia Molik 7-5 in the final set of that match. And it was probably 2002, something like that. But anyway, she's had issues dealing with the mental side of her game in Australia. So for her to get through today was good. It's her last Australian Open. She's going to play doubles, but that's it for singles. And let's hope she can get through another couple of rounds at least.
Just as we watch Alex Di Minaur closing in on match point, it's a four-set affair, yep. But he looks like he might get across the line. Tennis Australia will review its handling of the Novak Djokovic affair. What will be the result of this, I wonder, Craig?
Gosh.
Well, I look, it's more a case of learning from situations and what may need to be applied differently the next time, and hopefully there won't be a next time if something like this crops up again. But that's what was behind the release from Tennis Australia, and it was more to it was like a review of the situation, but it won't happen till once the tournament is done. I mean, there's too much happening now to look at something like that, and it can wait till after the Australian Open.
And a lot of our listeners be keen to know, Ash Barty, of course, comfortably through to the second round. What's her next opponent?
Yeah, well, she's going to be a day match on Rod Laver Arena tomorrow. It's a second match of the day. She's playing Lucy Bronzetti of Italy. I'm not sure how much Ash would necessarily know about her, but the way they do their research now is all through YouTube. The coach will go scouting a bit, but in the past, they would, you know, physically scout all matches. But now the players go to YouTube to see what they can find on a particular opponent. So that's who she's got tomorrow. John Millman at night against Alexander Zverev. And any other Australian on tonight, a little bit of a lighter day on the Australian front than today when there were 12 Australians on court. The third and last one tomorrow will be Alexander Vukic against the greatest player ever from Moldova, Radu Olbot.
Radu Olbot.
Wow. Nice get there, Craig.
Okay, Craig, it sounds like Australia tennis is in a pretty good spot. A lot of depth, a lot of players either winning or pushing their opponents to points where they could have won. Is that a correct statement? Is depth across the country's looking good?
On a few of them, I think an element of consistency is needed. A greater element of consistency is needed. You know, somebody like Storm Sanders with that result tonight, losing to Arina Sabalenka when she should have won that match from a set and 3-1 up. I mean, I'm not saying it would be an easy thing or anything like that, because Sabalenka is the number two seed, so more than competent. But I think maybe she could have pressured her a little bit more and sort of focused or been a bit stronger mentally. By the way, Alex Dumino has just won. He's beaten Lorenzo Musetti 3-6, 6-3, 6-love, 6-3. So that's what I'm getting at as far as somebody like Storm Sanders is concerned, because she did team up with Ash Barty in Adelaide. They won the doubles title over there. She's pretty close to Ash, so I'm sure Barty will be able to provide extra advice and suggestions to her.
Craig, we got the final score out of the Demonor match out of you, which is perfect timing. Thanks for your time, as always. We'll speak to you over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Gabriel, our Nine radio tennis expert. And we'll just going briefly back to Maddie Inglis. And again, athletes in these times, we do tend to forget how long she's been away from home. The space of time that she hasn't seen her mum, it is just a situation where you can't help but admire the resilience and what these athletes are going through. Albeit she gets a good payday today, but as they say, for every lick of the ice cream, there's about 9 kicks up the backside.
Well, that's it. I mean, you hear often, well, she's an athlete, she gets paid all this money, and that's a part of the parcel. Well, sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. It doesn't take away from the fact that they are away from their family, and they are having to mentally put themselves through something that they may not have had to in the first place. So, look, just hearing that, I was really interested to see how she was going, and it's good to see she's got some sponsors as well, because what a great victory, and that'll set her right up for the rest of, you know, her career, but especially this year.
Absolutely. Alex de Minaur, Nick Kyrgios, both winning their opening round matches at the Australian Open. Our tennis update, by the way, for the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's as silent as the critics. Find out more at kia.com/au. It's 14 minutes before 7 Tuesday night. Mark Rennings and Will Schofield taking you through until 8 o'clock here on Sports Day. Thanks for your company as we roll through this Tuesday night. The Big Bash, Will, has taken over with the Ashes coming to a conclusion. We know the Perth Scorchers were 6 wicket winners over the Brisbane Heat last night, so they are hitting the finals up and running, and great to see Mitch Marsh playing so well, and Josh Inglis back in the side, and Joe Richardson will also return for the final, so they're in pretty good shape.
Well, they are. I mean, it's good for the competition. A lot of the Ashes players are going back and playing BBL. I think Labuschagne's back in, Khawaja's heading back in for his team. I think Travis Head, I saw him. 6 or 7 of the guys that just won the Ashes will be playing BBL over the next couple of weeks, so I think they had to jump a couple of COVID hurdles, but who doesn't have to do that this day and age, Skeet?
Isn't it amazing that Cameron Green, despite the talent he has, he doesn't have a contract with the Scorchers, so that is a quirk of the.
Is that his doing, or is that someone not signing? Surely, I mean, it can't be talent related.
No, I'm not sure what workload. The reason was, but whether he either opted out of playing Big Bash, which I'm not sure if that's the case, or whether he wasn't picked up by the Scorchers or another franchise, remains to be seen. But it seems like, given what we've seen at Test level, that he would be tailor-made with his bowling and his, of course, big hitting at times would be right up his alley. There is one match in progress at the moment, and it's
there is
the Renegades. A big run chase on their hands.
Yeah, Hobart made 182 runs, if you don't mind. 5 for 182. So that's a big score. Usually happens as well. The Renegades are chasing that down, though. After 13 overs, they're 1 for 122. Aaron Finch is out there. He's always dangerous. He's on 45. And Sean Marsh, the WA boy, he's out there too. So if you were chasing down a big total, Aaron Finch and Sean Marsh might be two of the first picked batsmen you'd have at the crease to chase down a big total, correct?
Absolutely. They've been terrific for a long time. And when you look at what the finals brings for the Scorchers, they're going to play their home matches at Marvel Stadium, given their lack of opportunities to perform at Optus Stadium. So on that basis, they're playing as many matches as they can because it's a different pitch over there, the drop-in, and it's, a lower scoring deck has proven to be the case over there at Marvel Stadium. One team they've struggled with is the Sydney Thunder, and the Sydney Thunder have beaten them a couple of times this season. But you'd think with all things up and running, it's been a superb performance for them to finish on top of the table, hasn't it?
Yeah, if the Scorchers go on to win at all, it'll be... it's sometimes difficult with the cricket, how, you know, guys change teams. It's not like other sports where, you know, that's their team. They move around a little bit, but it'll go down as one of the great team victories of all time, going on the road for the amount of time they have playing at the level they've been able to play at. You know, Mitch Marsh, I mean, he is, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, hitting it better than anyone's ever hit it before, but he is in the form of his life, and he'd put his hand up and say that, but he is batting as well as you'll ever see anyone bat at any level.
You have to also wonder what, when the IPL auction comes along, Mitch Marsh, I think, is bowed out of the last auction just because he'd been in bubbles and quarantine for so long. Right. I think now's the time for him to get involved in the IPL auction, and hopefully, if he hasn't been picked up already, haven't checked whether that's the case or not, but he, Mitchell Starc, in unbelievable form. Starc, before the Hobart test, was weighing up whether to get involved with the auction. With his batting and his bowling, he must become a valuable commodity for the auction.
Even more, I agree with you, but even more, especially in cricket, where I think we're going to see more players making that decision as to whether or not money overweighs time with the family or having the opportunity to live somewhat of a normal life, because a lot of these guys have been in bubbles, in hubs, in hotels, which they are used to in cricket. They do travel a lot, but I think maybe this year, maybe a year where some guys go, you know what, I've had a good run in it this year, I'm just going to pull back. But that'll create opportunities for others who say, you know what, I'd like to fill the pockets over in the IPL and sign me up.
Well, I'll try and do that. The 2022 IPL auction is going to take place on February 12 and 13. So it's only a few weeks away. Fascinating to see some of these cricketers, whether they get told by their partners, look, go for your life, go and earn some good money. This will set us up, it will, financially for a long time. Or, you know what, I haven't seen you for so long. We've got a young family, for instance. It's a balancing act, and we know certain players have done that time and time again. Interesting discussion. The Big Bash does continue, and the Scorchers are well and truly in the race for the title yet again. We're here for Toolkit Depot, top brands, ultimate range, pro service. More on Sports Day coming up right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Yes, heading towards the 7 o'clock news here on 882 6PR. After 7 o'clock, we're going to catch up with Perth Glory defender Aaron Calver. They return to action, the Glory, tomorrow night after 43 days hold up. Quarantine, it's been a nightmare for them. Jay Rooney from the West, racing rider, to talk about William Pike and his next step heading to Sydney, Will.
Oh boy, Willie, where's he gone?
Absolutely. And Hayden Barron, a young golf pro here in WA who made his debut at the Australian PGA Championship. All that and more coming up after the 7 o'clock news. 133-882. Mark Reddings and Will Schofield taking you through until 8 o'clock tonight on this Tuesday night. Thanks to our guests so far. Plenty more to come after that 7 o'clock news, which is coming your way now.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to the show. Big second hour coming your way. Perth Glory defender Aaron Culver will join us to talk about the upcoming game tomorrow night, by the way, against the Brisbane Roar. Jay Rooney from the West, racing rider. The William Pike story, which has come out of the blue for many people, going to head to New South Wales to continue his career. How will that pan out for Willie? Jay Rooney will tell us what he thinks might be his next step in his career. Hayden Barron, a young WA golfer who's just turned pro, he's over there in Queensland, about to compete in the Queensland PGA Championship. And Johnny Slavich with our weekly check on bowls. Mark Reddings and Will Schofield joining you as we roll into our Perth Wildcats update for Camera Electronic. Wonderlust by Camera Electronic. Power your next adventure. And Scoey, not a real surprise that the Perth Wildcats went down tonight 87-74 to the Adelaide 36ers. They've had a lot of time behind closed doors, given so many of their players have had COVID, a lot of time off the court. And tonight, Vic Law scored 16, Bryce Cotton just 12. That was almost un-Wildcats-like, although we didn't see the match. The numbers don't stack up that well.
No, they don't. I mean, it's not great for Wildcats fans, 87-74. And as you said, they're just low scoring across the board with no one other than Vic Law in the double digits for rebounds. So probably defense was lacking as well as the offensive stuff. I mean, you said it's unsurprising that the Wildcats go and lose like that. It just for some perspective and I guess some context about spending time in hubs, it's a very difficult thing to do as an athlete because how athletes are wired, they're built on structure and they're built on system and they're built on, you know, as funny as it sounds, be here at this time and do this.
Routine.
Yeah, routine. And you're going to play this day, and this is what your next 7 days look like, and this is how you get your body to recover. So when COVID protocols start playing into it and games start getting flipped and players come out and it's not the regular injury that you used to, it takes a while to adjust to and it takes a while to get your mind ready because sport at the elite level is, look, it's physical, but it's more mental than it is physical. So when that starts getting moved around, it becomes difficult. And you see performances like that from the Wildcats. They'll bounce back though.
Absolutely.
They'll absolutely bounce back because they're a good team, but it does make an effect on the mentality around the team. Not only the guys playing, but the support staff are all working harder. They're away from their families as well. It just changes. And for sports stars and athletes, change isn't a good thing.
And we also have to bear in mind, as I said, I think 10 of the 13, whether they were all players, but certainly a mix of players and perhaps staff with COVID. Now, I don't know if you know anyone who's had COVID, but at the very least, it can be fatiguing, and that's probably the most minor cause of the virus. Is you and some of these players you think wouldn't have been overly affected, but we spoke to one of the players last week, Kevin White, who said he felt like he'd been hit by a truck.
Wow.
So
that's not the best preparation, I assume, for a basketball game, getting hit by a truck.
Well, he was double vaxxed, as they all are, so, and maybe boosted as well, I'm not sure. But that just shows you that maybe for some players, the virus did knock them around. But as we know, sometimes it doesn't proved to be the case. And even going back to you, you had the booster, you said you felt a bit fatigued, whereas I had it last week and no real issue at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's difficult sometimes to find that balanced discussion around, you know, pure COVID and pure sports. Like it does have an overlapping effect now is players getting sick. Players have always got sick, but their, I guess, the constant chat about it and coverage means that we talk about COVID and the impact on it. But players and teams have always had, I remember a few times at West Coast, we had a big run of the flu and colds go through and it does affect your performance. So COVID, with the way we know it operates, it will affect them for a little bit, but hopefully they can come out the other end and bounce back and be better for it. But they're certainly in a tough spot at the moment, the Wildcats. They want to improve because you know, we can talk all we like about the things that are going wrong for them, but in the end, it's a results-driven business and they need to get the wins on the board.
Yeah, just a slight hiccup tonight against the Adelaide 36ers. By the way, we'll have Coach Scott Morrison on the show and we'll ask him about what went wrong and what's to come for the Cats. That update for the Perth Wildcats brought to you by Wonderlust, camera electronics, state-of-the-art drones, cameras, headphones and more. Will Schofield nodding his head in agreement. Power your next adventure. Now, you briefly mentioning about your old club when you were in a hub, the West Coast Eagles. Have you been to training, by the way, recently and had a look to see how they're tracking?
I had a little look on Monday. I hadn't been back to West Coast since I retired because all of, well, sorry, retired in 2021, last year, they were in hubs. There was COVID protocols that no one, unless you were working specifically with the players, you couldn't access to them and players were in, you know, hotels and houses. So that was my first training session I'd seen since I retired. It was good to watch. West Coast were looking good, Skate.
Well, give us some, you're track watching the numbers. Tell us who you thought impressed you. Just, I mean, it's early days, it's January, but were there a couple of perhaps more senior bodies that you thought, wow, they're moving as well as I've seen them for a little while?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I ran into Willy Rioli. He's looking fit. I think people forget that Willy Rioli in 2018 and 2019 was one of West Coast's best players. So West Coast get a recruit back this year. He's looking fit. It was good to see him as well. I hadn't run into him along the way. Liam Ryan looking okay. He was running some laps. There was a couple of guys in runners. So Tim Kelly was in some joggers and Elliot Yeo were in joggers. I did see some coverage that perhaps they weren't training. Well, I saw them both training. They're all looking fine, not injured, but perhaps managed.
But Tim Kelly seems to be in pretty good nick.
The word I copped was it's the fittest he's ever been at West Coast, and that would probably also relate to his time at Geelong as well. So in career best shape, which is just what we like to hear in pre-season. Isn't that something that gets rolled out across any media station of all time? Career best form and career best shape.
Isn't every team, every player flying in January? Mind you, in all seriousness, I haven't been down to the Dockers for a little while to watch them train, but the word is that West Coast have basically been given an ultimatum to come back and make sure they are cherry ripe for the start of the season.
Well, again, not having inside knowledge, that would be the message for sure.
Of course.
If you go away and you finish the year like West Coast did, which was poorly, especially for West Coast standards, the word would have been on them, you must come back fit. And you got to also remember the coaching staff have changed around at West Coast as well. So I would say it feels like a pretty new club down at West Coast. But I'd like to speak about Freo as well before we leave. Freo, they are primed, ready to go, Fremantle Dockers. I'm hearing that too. They're going well.
Yeah, you've been supporting them for a while now. You thought they made the eight last year, and I reckon you're going to get behind them
what
again.
A year too early.
In 2022. And hopefully Luke Shuey might join us for a chat tomorrow night. He's speaking to the media tomorrow. Coming up shortly after the break, in fact, we're going to catch up with Perth Glory defender Aaron Calver. Perth Glory, can you believe it? They're finally back in action after 43 days absence. That's next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day, Tuesday night. Time to talk A-League and Perth Glory, almost forgotten about in this summer sporting schedule, given the difficulties and the setbacks they've had, but they are finally going to play their first game in about 43 days. And Aaron Calver, central defender, joins us for a chat now. Aaron, thanks for your time, and you must be pretty excited and pretty relieved to be getting back out on the pitch.
No drama, thanks for having me. The boys are raring to go after pretty long training base again that we've had to build up and kind of get going. So I think, yeah, come tomorrow night, the boys will be raring to go.
Does it feel like a bit of a pre-season for you, Aaron, a secondary pre-season after only four games to start the year?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's been like. Just back to the training pitch. Plenty of practice games within our squad. So, yeah, it's been tough, to be honest, but yeah, good to finally have the games back.
How long have you spent locked down in a hotel room or home quarantine across that 43 days between games? How long have you been stuck inside?
So we did the 7 days in a hotel in Brizzy and then another 7 days when we got back to Perth at home, so 14 all up.
And how did that affect you in terms of family and being away from loved ones? Was it a major imposition for you?
It wasn't too bad for myself because I'm from Sydney anyway, but I spent it alone with one of the other boys that quarantined with me, so we made the most of it. But yeah, it was more feeling for all the boys that had families back home and couldn't see their extended families outside of that.
What should we expect from the Glory, given the lack of football you've played? You'd imagine it's going to be time to get the chemistry and the match fitness back. Is that the general feeling amongst the group as well?
Yeah, that's kind of just natural part and parcel of the game. But I think we've got a good squad that's all been working hard. So I think we've got a lot of boys back from injury as well, which will help. So yeah, I think about the start of the game, I think it's just trying to be as ready as we can, and I'm sure we'll grow into the game as it goes on.
What are you hearing, Aaron, in terms of catching up the games you've missed? Are you going to end up playing a bunch of games in succession to catch up to the rest of the competition, or is there going to be periods where the rest of the league isn't playing? How's it all going to work?
Yeah, I think we'll end up having to play the catch-up games probably midweek. On this little three-week trip now, I think we've got 6 games in 3 weeks, so yeah, it's going to be pretty jam-packed, and then I imagine towards the end of the season there'll be a few midweek games to catch up the rest that we've missed.
I mean, 6 games in 3 weeks, it's going to be difficult from both a physical and mental point of view. You're going to have to use your whole squad. It won't just be the 11 lads running around out there. You'll have to draw on some of the reserves, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. The coach is made well aware of that. That's why I was saying before, it's good that we've got a few boys back from injury as well to kind of depth in the squad up. And so, I'm sure everyone will be used at some point.
So from your point of view, Aaron, say the Brisbane Roar tomorrow night and then backing up against Sydney FC on Saturday, is that a time frame where you're comfortable to play in that short space of time?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. It'll just be more of a case, I think, of seeing how boys pull up after the game on Thursday. I think when you're fully fit, it's definitely no problems backing up. But yeah, I'm not too sure how the boys are going to feel after, you know, such a long layoff. But I'm sure most of us will be fine to go again. So yeah, like I said, we'll just see how tomorrow goes, and I think we'll address it on Thursday.
We're speaking to Perth Glory central defender Aaron Calver here on Sports Day. What about Brandon O'Neill? We've interviewed him a few times. He's a very positive captain. He has put this scenario down to being a challenge and one that could be a great story at the end of the A-League season. That sort of positivity, has he displayed that week in, week out at training?
Yeah, that's Brando down to a T. His positivity and character's infectious on the rest of the team, so it's rubbing off in good areas for us. So I'm actually his roommate, so it rubs off on me even more, which is good. But yeah, he's a good captain to have at the club.
Very good. A nice little bit of cash for comment there to look after the skipper. What about this man, Dan Sturridge? I know you're probably sick of hearing questions about him. How's his fitness? Is he going to get out there and play 90 minutes? What's his status? How's he looking?
I'm not too sure about the 90 minutes, but he's definitely available for tomorrow night's game. So I'm sure he'll play some kind of role, just in the capacity we're not sure yet. So yeah, I think he'll be ready to go at some point tomorrow night.
Well, just mind my ignorance. What's the thing holding Daniel back?
I just think it's overall fitness, because he's spent, you know, we talk about having 42 days out of the game. He's probably had nearly 2 years out of the game. So
fair.
Yeah, just his overall match fitness, he kind of needs to build into that. It'd be unfair of him to just jump straight in and start playing full games.
Have a quick look at the Brisbane Roar against Sydney FC at the weekend by chance, Aaron?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I still watch the old team run around sometimes. I've still got a few good mates there. So, I mean, Brizzy did well to get a point, I thought. So they'll be up for the challenge. So it won't be an easy game by any means.
And what have you made of the league? Because it has been difficult and frustrating for so many clubs, not the least of which yours. But to try and get this season completed, the upside to what you're going through now is that you're going to have, presumably, a lot of matches at home in the back half of the season.
Yeah, that's the plan. So I think for us, it's just about trying to pick up as many points as we can, knowing that we have those games up our sleeve, because I know for a fact no team wants to come and travel and play us in Perth, so it's a massive advantage for us to have leading into the finals. So I think if we're there or thereabouts, it'll bode well for us once we get back to Perth.
Well, speaking with Perth Glory defender Aaron Calver, as you mentioned, Aaron, you came over from the Brisbane Roar. What's the difference been between the clubs? Are you enjoying the Perth Glory?
Yeah, I'm loving Perth. You know, it's just such a good group of boys, very very balanced, very well run. Plenty of talent. So I think we've only touched the tip of the iceberg with us in our first 4 games, and will get stronger and stronger as the season goes on. So yeah, I'm loving it.
You touched on it a little bit, but do you? It's difficult to gauge where you sit in the competition, seeing as though you've played half the games. Where do you see yourselves? Are you going to challenge for the title this year? Are you making up the numbers? Where do you sit?
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely not here to make up numbers. I don't think any of the boys think that at all. So I think we're very ambitious about what we can do. It's just a matter of going out and doing it. We've done plenty of training for it, so it's just about bringing it all together. And yeah, there's no reason why we can't go all the way. Absolutely.
Yeah, Melbourne City looked like the team still to beat. Is that a fair assessment, albeit early days and such a jumbled fixture?
Yeah, that's probably pretty true. I think them, Melbourne Victory, are looking pretty strong this year as well. So I think they'll be the two teams to kind of beat, and then obviously Sydney are always there and thereabouts. So it's going to be a good comp and a good battle at the top. So hopefully we're a part of it.
Aaron, are you now based over east for the rest of the year, or are the club giving you any indication as how quickly they're going to try and work to get you back to playing games here in Perth?
At the moment, the plan is to come back when the border opens. So
okay.
Whether that be on the 5th or whenever it actually does open, that's when we'll come back, because physically no way we can get back
good.
Any other way.
Oh, so, good. Hopefully
in 2 weeks.
It's been a season thus far of frustration, Aaron, but we do wish you well. Good luck against the Brisbane Roar, followed by Sydney FC. A ton of games over there on the East Coast, but then, of course, our fans hoping to see you in the flesh at HBF Park. Thanks for being part of Sports Day.
Thanks very much.
There it is, Aaron Calver, central defender for Perth Glory. They're 10th on the ladder, 5 points out of the 6, having played 4 games for a win, a draw and 2 losses. And Will Schofield, we go back to when the West Coast Eagles went into quarantine / hub life, essentially, on the Gold Coast. That was tough. This, what the Glory's gone through, is next level.
They would have to fully reset their season. That's why I asked the question off the top. How have they been judging it? Because they played 4 games. That's like a pre-season cup. And then you have a month or more than 6 weeks layoff. That's another pre-season period. So, as Aaron mentioned, I think we should see some pretty fit boys. I mean, they've been training. They haven't been playing, but they should be fit. Interesting on that Daniel Sturridge situation. I'm not sure what's happening there.
Yeah, that's weird. He hasn't played a lot of footy for a while. But interesting you say they should be fit, but there's a big difference surely between being fit through getting some cage in the legs as opposed to match fitness.
Yeah, there is, but you've got to remember they've done a preseason, played some games, and then they've had another patch. So when you get another patch like that, the fitness does maintain. You're not building up. So they may have been able to put a pretty decent run in, and it could benefit them, really. It could bode them well for the rest of the year.
One of the fascinating stories of the A-League season, Perth Glory in action against the Brisbane Roar tomorrow night. Stay with us. More of Sports Day coming up shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Thanks for joining us on Sports Day as we roll through a Tuesday night edition. Time to talk racing. We talk of big stories in WA sport. This is pretty big given what's happened over the past 24 hours. And Jay Rooney, leading racing writer at the West Australian, joins us for a chat about William Pike and his upcoming move to the East Coast. Jay, thanks for your time this evening.
G'day, Steve. How are you going?
Going really well. Listen, a bit upset and disappointed for WA racing fans that William Pike, by the sounds of it, is heading to Sydney to continue his career.
Yeah, plenty of punters will be pretty unhappy. They won't be able to back Pike in the last and get out after backing a few losers earlier in the day, I'm sure, at Ascot and Belmont and the like. But, he's off to Sydney. The punters' pal, he'll be flying his trade over there. With his current status of not being vaccinated, he can't ride in Western Australia from February 5 onwards. Vaccinations have been mandated for the racing industry here from that date. In New South Wales, it was actually mandated going back to early December, but that actually changed the middle of that month to align with the government regulations regarding vaccination mandates in across the board in businesses and industries like the racing industry. So he's able to go over there and ride without being vaccinated.
Jay, Will Schofield here, mate. Are we likely to hear from Willie Pike on this, or is he just getting his kit together and heading off?
I'm sure he'd be keen to talk about the move in the coming sort of weeks and close to that date, but He's suspended at the moment, so he's not in action, but his manager, Dale Verhagen's been pretty busy working on this move in the background, and he's spoken today on the move, and yeah, looks like it'd be a big chance for him to continue his career, which looked like it was really, really in doubt with the mandate coming in from February 5.
I believe there's been quite a push from those inside racing and those close to him in racing to try to get him to take the vaccination and see that there's a future here in WA by doing just that. Has this caught many by surprise that he's deciding to head away from WA?
Well, I think it has, because he's been offered plenty of chances on the East Coast in recent years. He's ridden in Hong Kong before and a few times in Singapore and some few Melbourne and stints over there as well for autumn and spring carnivals. But he's a bit of a homebody. He likes home. He's knocked back some pretty lucrative offers to ride over East permanently in the past, and obviously it's only come about now because of the vaccination mandate that's coming in.
Jay, one of, if not the best jockey going around in WA. How does that change heading over to New South Wales and Sydney in terms of who he's riding, and from a racing perspective, how does it change things for Willie Pike?
Well, he's up against the best over there. He's got James McDonald, who's the best jockey in Australia, probably by several lengths at the moment. He's got to go up against him. He's got to go up against Hugh Bowman. There's Tommy Berry. There's plenty of big names over there. So he goes from being a big fish in a small pond over here to being a bit of a small fish in a big pond over in Sydney. So it'll be very interesting to see how he fits in. He does have some affiliations with some good stables over there. Team Hawks, who are a big stable in Sydney and Melbourne. And obviously James Cummings, who's the head trainer for Godolphin, one of the world's biggest racing operations. He's ridden with success for them before, so I'm sure he'll be trying to get into those camps while he's over there. And we'll see how he fits in. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out.
You're all over this stuff, Joe. How do you think he's going to fit in? Do you think he's going to slip in right at the top there, or how do you think he tracks up against some of these other guys?
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm not really sure how. It'll just depend on what sort of opportunities he does get. I'm sure the Hawks stable will give him some great opportunities over the autumn and spring carnivals, but he's going to have to work for it, and I think he understands that going to such a strong racing state like New South Wales. I think he knows he has to put in the work and worked very hard to try and get some of those better rides and get to the top.
Yeah, the William Pike-Bob Peters combination has just been so successful. Can you, in your racing journalistic career, remember a better combination, the Cerise and White, and what they've done in WA racing in recent years, Jay?
Oh, not at all. I mean, even going back years beyond my time, I think you'd struggle to find a better partnership than a jockey like William Pike and an owner like Bob Peters, and then you can throw the trainers in Grant and Alana Williams in there as well. I mean, they made a clean sweep of the Ascot Carnival. Obviously, Pike rode two of the Group 1 winners and a few other winners there. But, the Peters-Williams team have just been dominating racing like no one before, and Pike's been on plenty of their horses as well. So it's really a bit of an end of an era for West Australian racing.
We're speaking to Jay Rooney, leading racing writer for the West Australian, on the upcoming defection of William Pike. Going back to that New South Wales regulation, it does seem really strange that we've got one set of rules about to be enforced here in WA in racing, but clearly in New South Wales it is different. He must have great confidence, William, that those rules that are in place in New South Wales will remain and not be strengthened as they are here in WA.
Well, I think speaking of his camp, there are some concerns that can change in the near or long-term future. With COVID and vaccination mandates and the like, and all the protocols around from state governments and racing jurisdictions, it can change pretty quickly. So I think they're well aware that going over there is a bit of a risky element that could come back into play, because it was in play, as I mentioned, late last year, and then it was changed all of a sudden. So it could very easily change back to what it was early in December, and he could be out of a job again. So We'll just have to watch this space.
Willie Pike, a huge profile here in WA racing. Is he the only one, well, I'm going to call it defecting, but is he the only one that's making a move like this over to Sydney or New South Wales to the eastern states, or is there other riders here in WA in the same scenario as him?
Well, I don't think there are any other riders. There could be one, not confirmed, but there were a few jockeys that didn't ride on Perth Cup Day along with William that they've had their first vaccination jab, so they'll be getting their second either later this month or by that deadline time, February 5. I think he's on his own there, but it would be a big move for any other jockeys to go over there because there aren't many riders with a profile and a record like Willie Pike has here.
If Willie was the best in the business, who's stepping up to that ladder position now? Who's at the very top here in WA?
Well, I think you've got Chris Parnham will be right at the top there now, and he's a young gun. I think he's 25, but he's obviously been around for many years, riding since he was 16, and Australia's leading jockey last season, actually knocked off Willie Pike from that perch for that premiership in the last season. He was a phenom last season. He was absolutely outstanding and really fulfilling the potential that he's always shown. So I think Chris will be getting the bulk of those Bob Peters rides moving forward. But Clint Johnson-Porter, another young gun, he's another name to look out for, getting plenty of rides for Bob Peters and plenty of winners as well. He's not far off of Chris Parnham. And then you can throw in the elder statesman, if you like, Paddy Carberry, filled in for Willie Pike, winning the Perth Cup on Midnight Blue and a few other feature races during the Ascot Carnival. I think he'll be not too far off those two, the two young guns as well.
Yeah, CJP appears to be the heir apparent. He's followed Willie Pike's career and received advice. So that seems to be the natural progression over the next few years. Jay, just in terms of a timeline for when we might see Willie ride for the last time here in WA, have you got any idea what might be his last meeting?
Yeah, well, I think February 5, when that mandate comes into play, is a Saturday, so it's the Pinjarra Magic Millions Day. So I dare say if there's a Wednesday or Thursday meeting that week, that's when he'll finish up riding here. He's currently suspended, as I mentioned, but I think he's back as of next week. So it might be sort of mid next week that'll be his last ride there, and he's planning to be in Sydney by about early or mid-February.
Yep, which makes it pretty good timing for an autumn carnival assault. Hopefully for him, he'll get some good rides and hopefully continue his career. It's a sad loss for WA Racing, but a huge story nonetheless. Jay, thanks for joining us on Sports Day. We'll speak to you through the course of 2022.
Thanks, guys.
Jay Rooney there, joining us from the West Australian. More on Sports Day right after this.
Sports Day for Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day as we turn to golf and a young player on the rise, having just enjoyed his first major tournament. And it's over there in Queensland, by the way, at the Australian PGA Championship. I refer to Hayden Barron, West Australian, who is reflecting on a pretty exciting 4 days of golf. Hayden, thanks for being part of Sports Day.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me on, mate.
How was it? The 4 days, the whole experience?
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was my first event as a pro, and made a trip over to Brisbane. I was fortunate enough to get an invite through the PGA. And it was a really exciting week, filled with some new experiences and some familiar experiences, but no, it was a good week nonetheless.
Hayden, Will Schofield here, mate. Congratulations. Can you give listeners a bit of an insight into what goes into the journey to turn pro in golf? What goes into that from your perspective?
Yeah, hey, Will. Yeah, look, it's been a long time coming. I kind of grew up playing baseball and tennis, and then kind of transitioned into golf when I was 16, and then I've been pretty much full time since then. Straight out of school, I decided to go with golf, and worked hard pretty much every day up until now, and playing amateur events all across the nation and around the world as well. I guess it's just a case of when you want to make the transitional period between an amateur to pro. There's a few different ways you can do it. A couple of guys go through the traineeship, which is like a three-year course to become more of a teaching pro. And the guys that want to play generally go down the playing course, whether it be through qualifying events or, as I've done, I'm just kind of going through invitations and trying to get my card that way.
How many hours do you think you've spent on the course since you left school when you were 16 years old? You get a number?
A million? I don't know, mate. I have no idea. It's been a few. Definitely over the COVID period, things changed. Had to look for work elsewhere without any events happening and whatnot. But it's been ramped up the past probably 12 months or so in the lead up to last week and the next few months.
Working it and playing at Yokine, what's that been, the experience like there and the support you've received from that club?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. At WA Golf Club, I've been there since I started. The members are unreal with their support, and you know, they're always messaging me, calling me, and always announcing, you know, what's going on at the club presentations and whatnot. So the support there is incredible, and yeah, I couldn't ask for a better club to be at.
Chatting with Hayden Barron, a WA golfer who's just turned pro, finishing 12th at the Australian PGA Championship at Royal Queensland, which is no mean feat first up, but you must have just wondered and looked at the scores of Jed Morgan and thought, what the heck's happening here?
Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal. I was fortunate enough to kind of grow up through the amateur ranks with Jed, and he's only recently turned pro, I believe, maybe November last year. But yeah, his playing was unbelievable. He won by, I think it was 11 in the end, and he wasn't looking back at the pack, that's for sure. He continued to get further and further ahead, so I think by the end of the year, everyone was just kind of playing for second place. But yeah, no, super stuff to him, and couldn't be prouder of him.
Yeah, you must be proud of yourself with your amateur record. You've come pretty close to win a few tournaments over the last couple of years, 6 top 5 finishes. You must have your eyes on a big prize sooner rather than later, though. That's what you're in the game for.
Yeah, that's right. At the minute, I'm just kind of playing on the Australian tour through invitations. So I opted not to go through qualifying tournaments last year. I retained my amateur status when I found out I was going to get the call up to play in Dubai for Australia, which was in November last year. So I had to stay amateur for that. Decided not to go through the qualifying events, and I'm just playing on invitations the next few events. So yeah, if I would manage to get a win, then that would obviously lock up my card instantly. So that's the plan.
Yeah, and the plan is obviously without being able to get back to WA to stay on the East Coast until at least February 5, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's right. I'm homeless. I was going to try to sneak back in, but you've ruined that for me now. But I'm going to head to Victoria after this week. I'm playing the Queensland PGA Championship this week out at Nudgee Golf Club, and then I'm going to head to Victoria and lay low there for a couple of weeks, and there's a few more events there late February. So,
I believe you might have had a nice moment today at a pro-am with a former footballer who Will may have well come up against in his days at the MCG, and maybe at Subi.
Yeah, I rolled in this morning to check in for the pro-am and got asked if Hodgie was there yet, and I said, what, Luke Hodge? And they said, yeah, he's your partner today. So, fortunately, I've got a pretty good relationship with Luke. Played a couple of games with him, and he was out supporting me last week. So it was nice to have another game with him today and watch him hit a few in the water. That was pretty funny.
Oh, I was going to say, how did he hit him? Very interested to hear how Luke Hodge, former Premiership captain of the Hawthorn Football Club, how did he hit them?
He hits them pretty good. We went through a few drills on the course to try and get him a bit straighter for him. But overall, he's pretty good to play with. He's a great fella. He putted really well on that. That helped him get a good score today. So, no, he was happy.
So, what events? You say you got some invitationals coming up. What events have you, what's in your next couple of months of play? What have you got on the cards?
Yes, it's all a little bit uncertain at the minute. The invitations you don't really hear about until kind of a week or two prior. So, right. As I said, I've got the Queensland PGA this week. I'll head to Vic, and then there's 3 events through Victoria. There's the TPS Players here at Rosebud. Then there's the Victorian Open, which is at 13th Beach in Geelong. And then another TPS Players Series, which is at... I actually couldn't be certain where it is in Victoria. And then there's a few in New South Wales through March as well. So basically just going to be hanging around waiting for the call-up, but make sure I'm ready to go nevertheless.
I'll tell you what, Hayden, I'm a Geelong boy and I've played once at 13th Beach. You'll want to just be careful of the wind down there, mate. Very, very tough stuff. Look, I'm a terrible golfer, but that made me look even worse than I actually am. So good luck.
Thanks very much. Now, I've heard it is the case down there. So unfortunately, Perth gets pretty windy as well. So we're fairly used to it, the guys that have grown up there. So yeah, hopefully I can get a call up there and utilise the wind to my advantage.
Hayden, in terms of men's golf in Australia, it looks like it's in pretty good shape at the moment. We look at performances by yourself, Minwoo Lee, of course, Jed at the weekend, Adam Scott's around the place, Matt Jones, Cam Smith. There seems like a really good bunch of players that are taking this game to the level you need to make sure it's a high-profile sport in this country still.
Yeah, yep. There's a lot of guys that are pushing the sport, definitely. Min's done an incredible job, I think. He's got a pretty massive fan base for someone who's so new on the scene. And obviously, his last couple of years have been incredible. He's obviously inside the top 50 in the world now. And, you know, that's kind of all happened in the last 12 months with a couple of good events. So, yeah, it's good to see the guys up on the world stage and doing their thing.
Hayden, congratulations on turning pro. We know you've got a bit of exciting news coming up with the Queensland PGA Championship on the horizon. Starts on Thursday. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day. Safe travels across the East Coast, and hopefully we'll see you back here in WA in early Feb.
Yeah, fingers crossed, guys. Thanks very much, and thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. Hayden Barron joining us here. Our golfing update, thanks to Toolkit Depot, Top Brands, Ultimate Range, Pro Service. More coming up right after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Thanks for your company on Sports Day, Tuesday night. Time to talk bowls. Visit your local club. Gotta love the bowler.com.au. Johnny Slavich is synonymous with this segment week in, week out. He joins us for a chat about the beloved sport of bowls for him. Johnny, did you get out on the green on the weekend?
Yeah, look, we were lucky enough to get out there. The pleasure of the nice sun and a bit of a wind. We had Pennant on Saturday and the start of the state singles, which was on Sunday. So it was quite busy for all bowlers.
G'day, Johnny. Will Schofield here, mate. How did the Men's Premier League turn out? What were the results there on the weekend?
Yeah, Will, look, pretty tough rounds for a lot of the clubs. W took on Sorrento, which was a top four clash. Sorrento had the wood over W for the majority of the game. W really had to find something deep towards the late of the game. I think they're about 20 shots behind, but managed to get a 85-79 win over Sorrento, 7-1 there. Safe South Perth got over Safety Bay, 7-1. Cardinia did the job on Cambridge, who nutted W 8-0 the last sweep, but went down to Cardinia, 7-1. Aussie Park, 7-1 victors over Mozzie Park. And North Beach got the full 8 against Manning, and quite convincingly in the end, about 23 shots. So the top four is looking Cambridge, W, Sorrento, North Beach, and Mozzie Park and Safety Bay down the relegation zone. So they'll be looking to get a bit of a move on there to save themselves a spot in Premier League for next year.
There's been some cancellations because of some heat, Johnny. What's going on out there? It's bloody hot.
Yes, it is hot, and today the ladies' heat rule came into effect where it got to 39 degrees, which was predicted temperature for today. So Bowls WA did cancel all the Premier League matches for the ladies. Quite understandable. Even though some of those clubs have been played close to the coast, there are teams and clubs who play out Gosnell, Thornley, Rolleystone, those sort of areas where temperature does get right up there. So for health and safety, and obviously for the safety of everyone, you know, they called off the games for this year. So I think everyone gets half points there. So aggregate split, and we move on to next week. Unfortunately, it's summer. These things do happen, especially with the ladies. You've got to take care of everybody.
Absolutely. Nice work, Johnny. What about the state singles? Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, look, the knockout rounds, section rounds were played on Sunday. Multiple clubs across the state. It was a maximum draw this year. We had over 350 entries. So we got through the sectional play and a few knockout games. A few of the big guns got knocked out, like Cody Packer, Matty Mitchell didn't get through their sections. Cole McElroy, another one. Blake Nairn still managed to get through to his. He's chasing for a third state title in one calendar year. The old great Grand Slam. I know we're not talking tennis, but it's just as important in lawn bowls. So a few big names there. Continuation games are played at Osmond Park and Bassendean for the men's and ladies, and concluding on Sunday with a quarterfinal, semi and final for the Blue Ribbon event of Bowls WA.
Is there any other tournaments coming up, John, or is that a bit of a wrap for things?
Well, look, we've been pretty busy and it continues along there. W have got the master pairs, which are still looking for a couple of teams to fulfill that. Choices there on the 6th and the 13th of February for qualifying rounds. So please get onto Bowls WA or the W Bowling Club and get your entry into anybody's qualified to play in that event.
Johnny, love your work. Thanks for joining us and we'll speak to you next week.
No worries, boys. Take care and good luck to all the bowlers.
There it is, Johnny Slavich. Thanks to our friends at bowlo.com.au. Head to your nearest bowls club and get involved. Visit gottalovethebowlo.com.au. That wraps up a big Tuesday night. Scully, good to have you in the house. Bit of fun, bit of sport bumping around.
I'll be here tomorrow as well.
And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
It's going to be good. Who have we got on the show tomorrow?
We've got Scott Morrison, the coach of the Perth Wildcats, back in action. And, of course, we'll be crossing to the Australian Open Tennis with plenty of big names still in action there. After 8 o'clock, it'll be, of course, the night shift. And you can get involved with the open line there, 1-3-3-8-82. Thanks to all our guests tonight. Thanks for your company and hope you can join us from 6 o'clock tomorrow night here on 882 6PR. The 8 o'clock news, though, is coming your way next.